Hi, I will start us out with a little prayer. Lord, I just worship you, the Lord Almighty, who is moving through circumstances and people for your greater plan and for our greater good. Would you reveal more of who you are this morning as our Redeemer, our shelter, our protector, our refuge? How we need you, Jesus. Amen. Well, do you ever have a hard time deciding what to wear? Even today, did you spend a little extra time deciding what to wear so you'd be comfortable but appropriately dressed? Right, if it was only about comfort, we'd all come in our flannel PJ pants. So thank you for getting dressed today, and I know you appreciate that I got dressed today. But seriously, there is a significance to how we clothe ourselves, right? I've worked several places that had specific written dress codes, and whether written or not, we have certain expectations of certain attire or clothing for a workplace or a playground or a church or a hospital. So, for example, if I go into a hospital or a clinic, I expect I'm going to be able to distinguish the caregivers from the patients, right? I'll know who a tech or a nurse or a doctor are. And I expect that I'll be able to tell who a policeman is or a baseball player or a chef or someone working at a register at a store or a butcher. Hopefully, I can tell the difference between a teacher and students. Certainly, I can tell who a bride and groom are by what they wear. Clothing can express externally what's true inside, and we see that in Scripture. In today's passage, there's something going on with clothing and garments. So let's take a deeper look into that, the clothing and the covering, to see spiritual meaning in how Ruth is clothing herself and what she is asking of Boaz with his garment. So in our story, our two impoverished widows, Ruth and Naomi, have found food. They have a short-term solution because Ruth is gleaning in Boaz's field. But there's another shift that happens today. Naomi is really starting to show deep care and concern for Ruth and Ruth's future. What will her future be? We have two divisions today in Ruth 3. First, we have the proposal. That's verses 1 to 9. And then the pledge, verses 10 to 18. So we left off last week in Ruth 2 with a kind, generous gift from Boaz for Ruth's hard work gleaning in his field. He was generous and kind, addressing her as daughter, inviting her to the table with his servants for food, giving her extra food to take home to Naomi. Boaz even told Ruth to stay in his fields amongst the women that were gleaning behind his harvesters until the harvest was finished, assuring her she'd be safe and protected there versus risking assault or a harassment in someone else's field. So let's get into the proposal, division one. Our passage starts today with Naomi giving some very detailed and specific special instructions to our gal Ruth. And Naomi tells why she's doing this. It comes first in our passage. So I'm going to read verses 1 to 6. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law Naomi said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying, and then go uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. So Ruth has been gleaning to sustain her and Naomi, their life in Bethlehem. She's been supporting and caring for Naomi as God has providentially cared for them. The barley and grain harvests were a couple of months long each. So it's likely Ruth had been working for Boaz for months by the time Naomi proposes that Ruth approaches Boaz this way. They've gotten to know Boaz, their kinsman redeemer, even more during those months that Ruth has been protected and looked after amongst Boaz's workers during the harvest. And Naomi is moving toward caring for Ruth's future. They found a way to sustain themselves in Bethlehem, a way to eat, but it doesn't promise that they'll be looked after, especially Ruth, who is still young. I think it's just beautiful and admirable and noticeable that Ruth is caring for Naomi at cost and sacrifice to herself. Remember, Ruth vowed that she would die where Naomi dies. And I have to wonder, did Naomi, was she thinking when she left Moab that I'm just going to go home to Bethlehem and die by myself? I've lost my family. I'm just going to go home and die amongst my people. But Ruth insisted that she's devoted her life to Naomi and Naomi's people and Naomi's God. So Naomi didn't return to Bethlehem empty or alone, even though that's what she has said in her sorrow. And actually, we're starting to see that empty life and empty spirit of Naomi's being filled through her daughter's care and devotion, her chesed for Naomi. She's been willing to serve and care for her. So as Naomi wakes up from her grief and that emptiness that she's had in her mind and her heart to the reality of Ruth's devotion and the sovereignty and providence of God in placing Ruth in Boaz's field, Naomi expresses her concern that her daughter will have security or be at rest in a family. That word there in Hebrew, that word for home is rest. She wants Ruth to have rest and a future with someone when she's gone. Naomi's concerned that Ruth will have a place in a family and be cared for and loved by a husband. And we need to remember, marriages were arranged by the parents. What Naomi is doing here is very motherly. Naomi is ready to set things in motion for Ruth's future. And it is no accident that Ruth had come into Boaz's field to glean. He's their close relative. This is providence, the providence of God. Well, I'm thinking Naomi has been observing the care and kindness, the character and protection that Boaz is showing to Ruth, but also to his workers. Naomi has been given time during these harvest months to really watch and observe Boaz's character and his faith and faithfulness to God. And she's grown hopeful that there's a potential for a match between Boaz and Ruth. Naomi is now clothed in hope. So will Naomi's motherly intuition be correct, and will Ruth be willing to take a big, bold step of faith and make a courageous move under the instruction of her mother? Well, Naomi talks with Ruth, telling her exactly what to do to approach Boaz with a proposal, which might have seemed strange to Ruth, but she listens. Naomi instructs her to approach Boaz when he's on the threshing floor in a very specific way, to petition Boaz to take action as their Goel, their kinsman redeemer. He is one that is able to secure a home for Ruth, to do for them what they can't do for themselves. So Boaz would be at the threshing floor, staying there during the harvest. The threshing floor was actually an outdoor place, a flat place on a hillside outside the city, outside of Bethlehem. The threshing floor was a place of dividing. After the day of harvesting the barley or grain stalks, it would all be brought to the threshing floor to be trampled, usually by oxen, so that the seeds or cereal would be separated from the stalks and what was inedible, the chaff. Then it would be winnowed. Think like a large pitchfork, but even bigger and wider than a pitchfork. Harvesters would toss the mixture into the air, and it would catch the breeze, and that allowed the chaff to be blown away with the good grain, the cereal falling to the floor. Kind of like Foster City gets an afternoon breeze, right? There's a breeze always comes up, so they're making use of that during the harvest. This is hard work. These are really long days of labor. Well, Boaz would finish the day at the threshing floor, staying near the fields to make most of every moment of daylight. He would actually sleep out there, but he's also protecting the harvest by staying by it. I tend to think of barns, but this is all open air. Naomi instructed Ruth to prepare herself to approach Boaz. She instructs her to wash, put on perfume, and dress in your best outfit. Ruth probably didn't have a lot of clothes. She is a poor woman. Maybe she had two everyday outfits, one to wear, one to wash, but she would have one special dress for festivals and celebrations. So that's what Naomi is telling her to put on. And Ruth is a widow. She's probably been wearing sackcloth or a garment indicating she's a woman in grief. And Naomi is saying, put aside that clothing and put on your best clothing, indicating a new day, a readiness for a groom. Naomi says, after you've prepared yourself, go quietly to the threshing floor and don't make yourself known. Make sure that Boaz has finished his meal, he's eaten and drunk, and that, just a reminder for us, the harvest is a very happy, joyful time for everyone. There would be joy in the harvest, in God's provision. There would be joy in the work of the harvest and how God is providing and doing all of that work together. So Boaz would be eating and drinking with his team, but then taking his rest right there. Ruth was instructed to lay herself at Boaz's feet after he slept and to uncover his feet and to wait, just remain right there. It was common. I was like, what's going on with the feet? It was common for servants to lay at their master's feet in readiness to serve. It's a posture of submission. Ruth would be taking a posture of submission to the Lord of the harvest, to Boaz, her kinsman redeemer. What Ruth was doing wasn't in any way proposing something sexual or immoral. She was not going there to offer herself to Boaz physically. She wasn't going there to seduce him, entice him, or to have sex with him. That is not what Naomi would ask, and that's not what he would publicly go take to the gate, which happens next week. Quite the opposite. She was petitioning for something much, much more from him as their Goel, their Redeemer. Naomi was banking on the character and godliness of Boaz that she has been observing to take the appropriate action with Ruth's petition. And talk about a vulnerable, humble approach by Ruth. Ruth is clothed in obedience and humility and hesed for her mother, Naomi. And she tells Naomi, whatever you do, I will do. Ruth is taking a big step of faith, following her mother's instructions. So when is a godly woman, a person in your life, instructed you to do what seems unlikely so you could see how God would provide for you through that? How did it teach you to trust, or did you resist that? Well, let's read what happens next in verses 7-9. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant, Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a garden redeemer of our family." So Boaz, feeling joyful, probably exhausted at the end of a long day working the harvest and winnowing the grain, lays down to take his rest by the pile of grain, again, protecting it. And Ruth did everything that Naomi instructed. Quietly, after he's fallen asleep, she quietly uncovers his feet and lays at his feet. Can I just say, her heart must have been pounding out of her chest. Like, what's he gonna do? How's he gonna respond? What is gonna happen here? How vulnerable this position. I'm thinking she couldn't sleep. Well, something startles Boaz. Yeah, I think the Lord woke him up and he realizes there's someone at his feet. And he asks who it is. So it's they're out in the open. It's completely dark. They probably really can't see each other's faces or recognize each other. But Boaz would have smelled the sweet fragrance that Ruth has put on. She's changed from her work scent to a sweet fragrance. And when Ruth says, it's me, it's your servant, it's your maidservant, Ruth, she also says, spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are the redeemer of our family. Boaz would know exactly what she's doing. She was saying, in no uncertain terms, I'm willing to marry you, Boaz, if you are willing to redeem me and our family. How vulnerable, risky, and courageous, and yet how beautiful. She's using the phrase that echoes what Boaz had said to her that we heard in Ruth 2. The Hebrew word for garment and wing is very similar. She's saying what he had said to her, that she's taken refuge under the wings of the God of Israel. And there's a very special significance to the phrase, spread your garment over me. It is marriage that she is seeking by saying that. It is covenant that she seeks from him. It is redemption that she seeks from Boaz. In Ezekiel 16, God uses a similar phrase for Israel, spreading his garment over Israel to cover their nakedness, entering into covenant as a groom to his bride. The context in Ezekiel 16 is God as husband to Israel, and the context for Ruth is she is proposing Boaz consider being her husband. Spreading your cloak or garment over someone is claiming them as your own. As widows without children, God's law had provided for the way a way for the women of Israel to force the hand of a kinsman redeemer of their goel. But Ruth here is opening the door for Boaz. She's not forcing him. She's humbly, I want to say even patiently or slowly, petitioning him to consider redeeming her through marriage. And of course, then he would be redeeming Elimelech's family name and property through that. She's approached him deliberately and exactly as Naomi has instructed her. I just imagine they've been talking about God's ways. She's been learning from Naomi. Well, Ruth is clothed in celebration clothes, but so much more, she is clothed in faith and obedience and humility. Who has helped you take courage to humbly seek what you need from your Redeemer? Is Ruth's story reminding you of someone significant in your own story of redemption who showed you the way to the Redeemer? Ruth has essentially said to Boaz, I'm trusting in your goodness and kindness as my Redeemer kinsman. She's saying, I respect you, I trust you, and I'm putting my fate and my future into your hands, Boaz. Essentially, she's saying, my future is at your mercy. Well, this covering another, this of another, this made me think of Adam and Eve. Did you think of them? How after they had sinned, they hid from the Lord, and then covered themselves in shame with leaves. But the Lord graciously draws them out, covers them with the skin of an animal. It costs a life to cover their sin and shame, which is a foreshadow of our Redeemer giving his life to halt the curse of death and cover our sin and give us a new eternal life with him. The way Ruth approaches Boaz is to ask for total protection from the Redeemer. Boaz is a foreshadow of our Redeemer, Jesus. Naomi is clothed in hope for Ruth to have a future with Boaz. Ruth is clothed in faith in God and obedience and hesed. Following Naomi's instruction, that's also a way of showing Naomi hesed. Ruth is clothed in humility and trust as she petitions Boaz, her Redeemer. How you and I approach our Redeemer is important. Our first truth is seeking protection and life with the Redeemer begins by humbling myself to receive mercy and grace at his feet. Seeking protection and life with the Redeemer does begin with humbling ourselves at his feet and receiving his mercy and grace. So what holds you back from that posture of surrender to your Redeemer? What is he asking you to take off or leave for the covering of his mercy and grace? Maybe there's a sin pattern he's asking you to leave or put off. Maybe there's an emotion like anger or fear or resentment. Maybe it's your past that he's asking you to leave to receive his mercy and his grace. Well, just like Ruth left her widow's garments and came to her Redeemer asking for new life, we're asked to leave our life of sin to be made new and given new life in Christ. Just like it must have felt risky and vulnerable to leave her garments of grief and to stay near her Redeemer, it might feel risky and vulnerable to leave something that enables us to belong, truly belong to our Redeemer. So what is he asking you to leave for him to cover you in his mercy and his grace? And back to our story, how will Boaz respond to this humble step of faith that Ruth has taken? Now we're in our second division, the pledge. Boaz blesses Ruth and makes a pledge. So let's read it, verses 10 to 13. "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness, this hesed, is greater than that which you have shown earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor, and now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know you are a woman of a noble character. Although it is true that I'm a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as our guardian redeemer, good. Let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." In the months during the harvest, Boaz and Ruth have had the opportunity to get to know each other. They've worked in the fields together. They've been in proximity to each other. We know Boaz has a kind, generous, protective heart toward Ruth, that he cares. Well, had he been considering if there was more for him also in this relationship? Maybe. But now we know why Boaz didn't propose to Ruth. There's a closer redeemer for the family than her first right or opportunity to the land and to Ruth as a widow. But Ruth is now forcing the issue, opening the door for Boaz to take action, and he is ready. Boaz is tender and respectful and protective toward her, even in these moments. Three times he calls her daughter, which is an honoring way to address a young woman. He also tells her, "Don't be afraid." I'm sure that put her at ease, that he's treating her with respect. Boaz sees her petition as an unexpected blessing to him. Boaz is honored that she has blessed him with this petition. She's a young woman, he's older, and she hasn't gone after the young men in Bethlehem, but is in fact willing to be Boaz's wife. He praises her character. She is known to everyone. Remember Bethlehem, the small town, the whole town is talking about how she's living out her life. She is noble, a woman of excellence and strength. And he says to Ruth, "I will do all you ask." Boaz tells her, "There's a family member who is closer, and if he is willing to redeem you, let him." Which, by the way, did you notice his number one concern is her? His concern is for Ruth, not himself. Boaz has her stay near for the night and says he's going to see to things with the other redeemer in the morning. Let's let morning come and find out what happens. Anyway, he pledges, "As surely as the Lord lives," this is an oath, "if the other redeemer is not willing, he will do it." He very personally pledges to Ruth, "I will redeem you. I will do for you what you have asked." Boaz is clothed in action and willingness and honor and obedience. He will act on her petition and will do everything she's asked. So Ruth lay at his feet until morning. Boaz protects her reputation. So before anyone could see her there on the threshing floor, she gets ready to leave. Boaz tells her to bring her shawl to him. Hey, it must have been a big shawl. When she held it out, he poured 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. Boaz has given Ruth another extraordinary gift. Along with his pledge to do all she has asked and his promise to take care of things that day, he seals his pledge with a gift. 6 measures of barley is 2 bushels, which is not that helpful to us. it's probably four times what she went home with. It's 60 to 100 pounds, the amount she came home with on her first day gleaning. It's over 2 weeks, way over. It's probably a month's worth of food for them. So that's why I have these buckets over here. Didn't have a gunny sack, but she ended up carrying something like this home, full. These are empty. That's just the size of his enormous gift to take care of her. How she carried it, I can't explain, but scripture says he bundled it up and placed it on her. Maybe she had one of those yoke things with buckets or yoke that he could put her shawl on so she could carry it on her shoulders. I thought, didn't he carry it for her? But then he's protecting her reputation that they wouldn't be seen together first thing in the morning. Anyway, Boaz is clothed in honor and hesed toward these women. He pledges himself to Ruth and her redemption. This kindness and generosity is another way Boaz, the Redeemer, says to her, I choose you, Ruth, as you have chosen me. This points to our Redeemer. When petitioned, he says, yes, I choose you personally. Meanwhile, Naomi, I think she's at home pacing. She's waiting patiently to hear how things went between Ruth and Boaz. So let's read it, verses 16 to 18. When Ruth came home to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, how did it go, my daughter? Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, he gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. Then Naomi said, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. Wait. Stay. Just wait. How have you seen God work through a courageous step of faith you took? And how long did you have to wait to see him move? This has made me ask myself, how good am I at waiting after I've taken a step of faith? So Boaz has given this extraordinary gift so that Ruth would not return to her mother, Naomi, empty-handed. He's doing 2 things with that gift, this huge gift. He is showing Naomi, Ruth's mother, who's arranging a marriage, his intention to accept the petition for marriage with a large gift for the house. Think of like a dowry, a gift. He's also protecting Ruth from having to go to the field to work that day. Boaz meets their needs with abundance, and he's off to see about their future. And now the women wait. Wait. They stay and they wait to see what the Redeemer will do. Boaz, clothed in readiness, will see to their redemption. Naomi says, take care of this today, Ruth. I'm sure he's going to, but we're going to wait. Now, can you imagine how ridiculous it would have seemed if Ruth had just decided to tag along with Boaz, follow him around, tell him what to do, make sure he did things that she wanted done the way she thought it should be done? It kind of sounds ridiculous, right? That is not her, and that's not her role. Her opportunity was to petition Boaz, and she did that following her mom's instructions. But now it's time to sit still and stand still and be still and wait. Psalm 46:10, it's on your outline, says, be still and know I am God. That word, be still, is to take your hands off, is to let go your grip. Our trust in the Lord is evidenced in our willingness to be still, to trust him, to wait for him, to leave things in his hands. The future for Ruth and Naomi is still covered in uncertainty, but the petition to their Redeemer gives them hope. Now it's their role to take their hands off and be still and see what the Lord will do in his time and in his way. Our trust in our Redeemer is evidenced in our willingness to be still and to wait on him. And as we learn to wait on God, he continues to fill us what we need to be sustained. Well, we had a question about this in our lesson. I thought of a time in my life that I didn't wait. I didn't listen. I went ahead with a big job and said yes to a job offer that I didn't really have peace about from the Lord. And it was a really hard, grueling 2 years in that job. I went for title and money and what I was told would be great for my resume. And I didn't wait to hear from the Lord if it was what he wanted. I was willful in that decision. And it was a really hard 2 years. The Lord was gracious to me. He didn't abandon me. But I had brought on my own hardship by moving too fast. And did I say those 2 years were really hard? Our second truth today is my trust in my Redeemer is evidenced in my willingness to be still and wait. My trust in the Lord, my Redeemer, is evidenced when I'm willing to be still and wait for him. Waiting on the Lord gives him room to move and lead my future. We do have choices in surrendering and loosening our grasp on things of this life. So let's not allow an uncertain future take away our determination to stay by the Lord and seek his covering and his feeling as we wait on the good that he wants to give us. So what is the Lord leading you to release your grip on so you can receive his filling and his abundance? Well, back to our story, we're left with this tension. Which guy will get the girl? Which guy will end up with Ruth? Well, Naomi's motherly instincts say, just wait, he's going to see to this today. So you got to come back next week. Chapter 4 is very revealing. Well, as I give a little recap today, I just want to remind us our trust in our Redeemer is evidenced in our willingness to stay by him, to wait, to be still. And it starts with us humbling ourselves at his feet and trusting in his goodness and his mercy. So how were you clothed when you walked in here today? What are you clothed in spiritually or emotionally? Did you come in with clothed in joy or mourning? Praise or despair, illness or health. I'm not saying any of this lightly. I care and the Lord cares what you're clothed in. My ask is that you would petition the Redeemer to take on what only he can give you and what he kindly and graciously and protectively offers you, the clothing of a new life, life in the Spirit. These are clothes that only our Redeemer can give us. And Jesus came to redeem you. He came to give you new garments. He came to do for you what you can't do for yourself. I want to read from Isaiah 61, which is also on your outline. This is actually prophetic words that Jesus spoke later, saying he came to proclaim good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for prisoners and release us from darkness. He came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Jesus says, by doing these things, we will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. What gorgeous garments he has for us. Let's pray. Jesus, would you help us surrender at your feet to be covered by your mercy and your grace? Would you help us to release our grip on anything, anyone, any pattern, any emotion, anything, Lord, that you want us to leave? Would you make that so clear to us that our hands are open to receive from you your mercy and your grace? I pray that we are women who are dressed in your glorious robes of joy and praise. I pray against the spirit of despair and mourning. In Jesus' name, amen.